you have successfully managed to claw your way into the Casa Berenice Recordings Podcast, Episode 23.
This podcast is our way to release multi-tracked recordings from house concerts that we host in our living room. We being Clay Chaplin and Heather Lockie, and including our clawed friends Xenotron, Fuzzy, Nemesis, and Fluff Nugget. This episode features a performance by Placeholder. It was recorded live at a Casa Berenice house concert on December 9th, 2022.
Stick around after the performance for an interview with Placeholder.
And now, here is Placeholder performing on percussion, prepared piano, and electronics.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, I'm Daniel Newman Lessler.
Hi, I'm Eric Lennerton.
I'm Margot Harms.
And
they
are
placeholder. I think Eric should start this because he built a patch for it.
Okay, so I built a PD patch. It does the Alvin Lucier thing. If you never heard of the piece, it's called I Am Sitting in a Room. You should check it out. I had something similar in the PD patch where just was recording the improvisation as it happens, and then over a certain amount of time, in this case it was 6 minutes, it would repeat itself, and that happened like 4 or 5 times.
Nice.
So how did you organize what we heard? Was there a structure?
There was some structure in it, just because of how Eric planned out the max patch. It repeated every 6 minutes, and it went 5 times. So that kind of informed it, because you could hear it coming back to the beginning, and it was like a, at least in my thought process, it was a indicator, okay, it's time to change up the sound I'm making, because I've been in this world for 6 minutes now and I'm ready to do something else.
And you can hear that, I guess, like, you know his sounds enough.
Well, because he was sampling what everything that happened in the room, so like sometimes it was Eric's sound specifically, but sometimes it's like, oh, I remember Daniel did that a few minutes ago, so it must be repeating. Or, oh, that's a sound that I was doing two goes ago. I haven't touched that instrument in 10 minutes at least, so... Okay, it's repeating again. Time to move on.
And from where I was sitting, a lot of the times I would take my cues not necessarily from the recorded music, but was taking things from other more sort of active musical cues, such as Eric's music box or the various instruments that Margot's playing, and would try to create a sort of more spontaneous form on top of the thing that was sort of hardwired into the piece. And then would sort of trigger those sections with things that were pretty clear in terms of like indicators of, you know, arriving or departing from previous musical material. So sometimes that would be through the bass drum mallet on the low strings. Sometimes it would be revisiting previous material to create a sense of continuity. So I actually sort of purposefully departed from Eric's Lucier patch. I think one of the things that sort of makes Placeholder Placeholder is that we really try to change the setup every single show, where we are not really ever using the same instrumentation, that it's always different combinations, or we use the same setup to drastically different ends. And I think there's this great excitement that comes from us sort of learning how to play our instruments in real time. There's a certain adrenaline aspect to it. There's a certain survival aspect to it, where it really could all blow up, but we all trust one another enough as musicians, as friends, that we're able to sort of create something that is able to come out of very little experience of whatever that mm-hmm. setup is. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I'm just speaking for myself.
No, I agree entirely. I mean, like, I developed a lot of anxiety about like being very perfect in undergrad, which I think a lot of people can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And placeholders kind of become a safe haven because I just keep bringing things that I don't even know how to turn them on half the time to the group. And it's really, really just straight up tinkering and problem solving in the spot. And I'm really, really attracted to the idea of doing things without understanding how they work, because I think it leads to more open and interesting results than people who maybe were trained that it has to be a very specific way to be right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of what makes us work so well, is that we just are so fluid.
I also think the other thing that sort of makes Placeholder Placeholder is that we're sort of friends first and then mm-hmm. collaborator second, and I think sort of the... just sort of sheer joy of getting to just hang out mm-hmm. sort of becomes infectious. And it's not that we're like performing friendship, as cheesy as that sounds. like this is not a Captain Planet type situation where Eric's got heart and Margot's got, I don't know what Margot's got. nothing good.
I have nothing to offer.
I don't know. In so many performance situations, the product is sort of the central focus, and here it's really like, let's hang, and sometimes we'll do music, and sometimes when we're supposed to have a rehearsal, we'll end up like watching shitty movies. And that ends up being like sort of just as productive for us
That's
as
so nice.
Anything else.
Twilight has made a nice. Massive impact on our band.
Tell the listeners what exactly each of you were playing.
So knowing that we were going to be working with something that was going to continue to accrue more and more layers, I knew, and knowing that I was going to take the opportunity to play on your beautiful new piano, because that's not something that we often get to do in the venues that we play at. There isn't necessarily a piano.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually, I sort of similar to Margot, I sort of went back to my roots, mm-hmm. which when we were starting out, I was mostly doing piano work. So it was also sort of a homecoming for me. Knowing that we were going to accrue lots of layers, I knew that I wanted quite a large variety of sound. So hence, I was using a couple different types of bowing techniques at the piano, some on low bass strings, some mid-range, using some of these really delightful nano hex bugs, which are these vibrating kids' toys that generate these very delightful buzzing sounds on the strings and the tuning pins, and then doing a couple or some preparations of some of the strings with some blue tack to give it that sort of Cajun percussive-like quality where you're sometimes getting two notes that should sound distinct from one another in terms of pitch, and you're actually sort of detuning one of them such that they sound like just off versions of one another, or you're highlighting certain partials. And so, yeah, trying to create as disparate of a sound sources from the piano as I could. And then lastly, bringing in a relatively new toy of mine, which is working with feedback on a megaphone and playing with that to create sort of these like electronic bird call-like sounds.
Mm-hmm. We already talked about the PD patch, but had that running, doing the Lucier thing. Oh, well, this is important too. So I had this snare drum, and I wasn't using it as a snare drum, just more as this reverberant body. And I had a set of transducers just attached to the drum, sort of taped on, and that was how I was getting the sounds to come out. So not only is it being recorded on this crappy laptop speaker, it's also being played back out with these transducers on a snare drum. So it's already like super unclean as far as like recording standards go, but that's also where all the interesting quality comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, I had some music boxes that were just sitting on the drum, which they were on there for so long that you don't realize how much they're dampening the drum, and then as soon as I take them off, you're like, oh, there's like so much more reverberant. Oh, and then there was also a synthesizer that I was using, and it was literally just Reaper's default sine tone synth.
Yeah, Reaper.
And I just like to use really simple synths like that just because, I don't know, like people, it seems like they want to have like the most complex thing ever, and then I'm just like, what does this crappy synth sound like when I jank up the MIDI and make it do a squeaky sine tone and then choose the one a half step below it, and it's like super warped and it sounds like it's JI, but it's actually just a bad synth and me sending MIDI values yeah, that don't make great. Any sense. Yep. And everyone's like, oh, how'd you make that sound? And I'm like, it's just bad. Like, so that's
J-I or bad synth?
Yes. So that's what
that
I was
working
with.
That should be a question. And Margo, you had just what you were bowing. You had the e-bow and
yeah,
all sorts of things.
I also had a snare drum that I used as an amplifier, but I had a bunch of cut up guitar strings gaff taped to the beating side of my drum, which I I'm totally blanking on the word right now.
I excited
them,
yes,
with an Evo. And then I keep my drum tuned really low. I honestly just beat the shit out of my drum, and I tend to be pretty violent in my personal practice. Mm-hmm. So my drum is in awful condition, but it's great for this because the head is so loose that I was able to get like 6 or 7 pitches out of bending it just from a little bit of pressure in my hands, which was awesome. And then I had a couple of Noah bells that made a few appearances. I have these really super wicked little metal kitchen bowls that are only an inch big and I love more than anything. So I was bowing those on the drum. I have probably like my placeholder signature for the time being, these big grandfather clock chime rods. So they're the long metal rods that like I always prop up on top. But those are what's inside of a grandfather clock, so they're really easy to get online.
Oh, wow. I bet.
You can pull a ton of overtones out of them, which is really cool.
How did you discover that?
Oh, well, I went to PASIC in 2019.
What's PASIC?
The Percussive Arts Society International Convention. And I had to volunteer so that I didn't have to pay because I could not afford to pay to go to the convention. So in between sessions I wanted to attend, I was selling t-shirts, which was run by Rob Funkhauser. And he's a really cool percussionist in Indianapolis who loves building things. he just like passively mentioned that he had grandfather clock chime boxes that he made with the spiral ones instead of the rods. And he would just adhere them to like various wooden boxes and then put in a pickup and you were good to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought one because I had just started improvising and I was like, this sounds cool and I don't have this at my school. Mm-hmm. I brought it home, showed my music theory teacher. The next day, he emailed me to come to his office and he presented me with two giant clock rods and was like,
these
were my father's.
Oh,
they've been
God.
Sitting in my garage for years and I think that you might do some more with them
than
I have.
Dude,
so cool.
That is really cool.
It honestly felt like a big sign that it was time for a change, and that was what prompted me to drop my music ed degree and switch to performance.
Wow.
So you can find more of our music and photos and other shenanigans at Placeholder Trio at both Bandcamp and Instagram.
Please keep that in.
Oh, that's staying. We're done. That's great.
Thank you for joining us on the Casa Berenice Recordings podcast. We would like to thank the musicians for performing and our lovely community here in Northeast LA for attending our concerts.
For more information about our house concerts or our current release catalog, please visit our website, CasaBeroniceRecordings.com.
And thank you for listening.